Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I want to introduce you again to the wonderful thing called the Christmas story. But it's not just a story, it's the revelation of God of his only begotten Son. And that's why Christmas is such a precious time in the life of all of us. God so loved this world that he gave his Son. And we should look at Christmas as the time of great blessing, tremendous blessing. Receiving Jesus Christ makes us spiritually prosperous, therefore a blessing. But before I get into Luke and chapter 2 and share with you in particular verse 11, I want to record in your hearts and minds some history. If you go into the book of Ezekiel, the prophecy, you will find in chapter 10 how it is or was that the glory of God departed from Israel. We read there that Ezekiel watched how the Spirit of God moved in the temple, and the Shekinah glory moved from the altar to the outer court, to outside the temple, to the Mount of Olives, and was departed into heaven. Now, this is a very interesting piece of scripture, and I mustn't spend the time that I would like to spend on it, but I want to share with you and remind you that when Jesus had been crucified and been buried and laid in the tomb and raised from the dead, eventually after 40 days, Jesus ascended and went up into heaven. Now, here is the glory of God in Ezekiel 10, departing from Israel. Why did he depart? Why did the glory of God separate itself from man? Because of the abominations, because of the sinfulness, because of the wickedness and the uncontrollableness of the people of the time. The people of the time were politicians called scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees. They were called lawyers, and they denied God. They even brought idols in from other countries and put them in the courts of the temple. And they worshipped gods that were not gods because they were made of stone and wood, instead of worshipping the living God who cannot be housed in a temple and who cannot be housed in a statue or statuette. And I want to reveal to you this day a truth. God is terribly upset when we go after other gods. What is your other God? Do you have one? Now, if you say, with great conviction, I've heard people say this, my family come first, no matter what, you need to have another look. If you say, as I've heard people say, my family come first, you need to have another look at your thinking and understanding of salvation. Because if we're not Christocentric, that is Christ-centered, we are in doubt of our salvation. A lot of people that believe in free will have this serious problem. The reason is they're not sure that God will keep his word, and so they don't worship an everlasting God who has an everlasting salvation. They serve a God that is so limited to their emotions and actions. And that's a sadness, a great sadness. So I want to share some of this with you because the glory of God departed Israel. Now, let me string another thing in here. We have the Old Testament. Ezekiel came to his prophecy toward the end of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the end of an age, an end of a time. It is also God speaking to us and saying, these were the laws of the Old Testament, and this is how I required man to react and to respond so that they could worship and honor me, so that I would be the apple of their eye and I would be focused in their lives forever. All of this is a fact. Now, the glory went up into heaven. The Shekinah glory vanished. And God did not speak to Israel between the Old and the New Testaments. God is not working in the hearts of men and women. Some people have placed this departure of the Spirit of God into the heavens 592 BC. Others have said it was 630-something. I don't really know. But I must tell you, it departed. And Israel was left without the presence of God, without the Shekinah glory, without the glory of his presence in the temple, without the glory of his presence in their lives. They were left without him until Luke chapter 2. And this I want to share with you. If you'll turn there in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, you will discover it says this, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went also up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, and unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Isn't it wonderful? What a story. But the thing I want to share with you is that the glory had departed from Israel. And Ezekiel saw the glory of God depart and go up into heaven. It went, as I've already said to you, from the altar to the outer court, from the outer court outside the temple, and from outside the temple up to Mount Olivet, and from Mount Olivet up into heaven. The same thing that Jesus did. Standing on the Mount of Olives, he lifted up his hands and blessed his disciples. And as he was blessing them, he went up into heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus lives because Jesus has power on earth and heaven and under the earth. Everything is subject to him. Well, I want to share with you this verse 11. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Why is this so important? Because the angels broke through the clouds and they said, Glory to God in the highest. Here is the new coming. Here is the new testament. Here is the new agreement between God and man. Man could not save himself. Man could not keep the rules. But so Jesus is the gift of God who will save his people. And Jesus said to us, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, I will rest you. Come to Jesus as a child comes running to its mother. When you realize that sin is like a bleeding wound, run to him. When you recognize that wrong, the wrong of your own heart, your own mind, your own thinking, is just like a bleeding, gaping gash, run to Jesus and find in him your resting place. He will make you glad. He will lift you up out of the horrors of your own imaginations. He will place your feet solidly upon the rock that he is. And he will not leave you nor forsake you, but hold you and keep you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because he will be the shepherd to the sheep. I'm amazed at reading the scriptures. I discover that Jesus allowed himself to be led by sinful, criminal, wicked men. They led him out to be crucified. Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, the one that walks in front of the sheep, experiences everything in the way before the sheep get in the way. Jesus, who holds our hand and leads us moment by moment, and we are kept in his love. And moment by moment, with peace from above. Moment by moment. Oh, how precious this is. No wonder the songwriters of yesteryear wrote, I need thee every hour I need thee. No wonder they wrote, more about Jesus would I know, more of his saving fullness know. What a terrific expression all this is. Jesus walks in front of his sheep. He knows his sheep by name, and he calls them by name. Because Jesus is the Son of the living God, the creator of the ends of the earth, whose word became the law of life. When he said something, it became so. When God made that great description that he made this world in 6 days and the seventh day he rested, I believe it. Was it a 24-hour period? I really don't know, but I think so. And I believe it. It doesn't matter if it's 24 hours or 24 years. It doesn't matter. But it certainly doesn't involve things like evolution. God created. And in the beginning, God. Well, who created God? Don't be silly. Listen to the word. In the beginning, God. He was the beginning of all things. So Jesus brings glory. Who shall have this glory? It's curious, isn't it, that the wise men could not find Jesus in a palace. It's curious, isn't it, that Herod didn't know of any child being born at that particular time to any of the princesses. It's curious, isn't it, that historically Jesus was born of a poor woman, born of a poor man who looked after that woman and watched over him as he grew up. Jesus didn't come from a well-to-do family. He wasn't recommended as royalty. Why, the scribes and Pharisees said, we know this man. He was illegitimate. His mother was pregnant before she was married. She was an espoused wife. She wasn't the wife. We know this man. We know his father, Joseph, who bore with Mary the awful scourge of the lashing tongues of the gossips that said that Jesus was illegitimate. I will not accept for one moment that he was illegitimate, because this thing that was within her, this child that she bore, was of the Holy Ghost. And if I read Luke correctly, the Holy Spirit covered her, and she conceived a son whose name was to be Jesus. So we have the glory of God coming, not to the gentry of the world or the royalty of the world. We have this wonderful gift of God coming to shepherds who weren't especially rich, who weren't especially highly valued or placed in society. When John Baptist quizzed Jesus. He sent a messenger to Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And Jesus said, "Tell John, the poor have the gospel preached unto them." The beginning of the preaching of the gospel is the revelation of the glory of God. A man sees the glory of God within his own heart. His spirit is revived. His spirit is born again. His spirit is refreshed. His spirit becomes a new person. And he, therefore, lives a new person's life. You see, this is Christ the Lord. Who was it that came? He is Lord, the Lord predicted, expected Messiah. God appointed and anointed this Lord Jesus to be not only his only begotten Son, but the Saviour of the world. This Lord Jesus, in this instance, he becomes Lord. He is Jehovah. He is God incarnate. Imagine the plight of the shepherds at the announcement. Jehovah on earth? How can that be? Look in the manger, and you'll see a little child who shall grow older. And as he grows older, the wisdom that he shall speak, the life that he shall live, the temptations that he will rebut, this is Jesus. Notice, how shall he come? He is born. Unto us is born a Saviour. How this sanctifies motherhood. You and I need to remember its sanctity today. How this sanctifies womanhood in contrast to the non-Christian religions and present-day tendencies. The young ladies of today seem very foolish to me, and the young men even more foolish. And here is a thought, young men. God holds you responsible for what happens to these young women. You may think it's a fling in the night, or it's something that's passing by, and you can do whatever you want, and you can be whatever you think you want to be. But God holds you responsible, and that responsibility should weigh very heavily upon you. Not because you give money to the state to look after the girl who you've made pregnant, but instead something quite different, that you have offended God to the point where he says that he will remember your sins. Now, if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins, and your sins, says God, I will remember no more. But you need to wipe that slate clean, young man. Young lady, you need to wipe the slate clean just the same. Make sure our present-day tendencies don't press upon your life. You young teenagers, listen to me. It's important. Live a holy life. Live a clean life. Live a life that shall glorify Jesus. What honour, what dignity is conferred on the human race? For it links God himself with the human race. God thought it not robbery to take upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and dwell amongst us. Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, the Saviour of the world, sanctified and is pleased to attach himself to the experience of you and I that are born into this world. It's important to see these things because it proves the manhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born, then the truly human as well as the eternal divine is in this child. The Lord Jesus spans the gulf between God and man. It's a mystery to us. He was born. It was the method God chose to reach mankind so that he could give to us the greatest gift that can be ever given, the gift of eternal life. Do you have that gift? You call yourself a Christian? Are you a saint of the Lord? Then you have the gift of God, the eternal life that comes from Jesus. Now look also at the expression, he was born in the city of David. There's Bethlehem and the shepherds. Jacob's precious Rachel was buried there. Benjamin was born there. Ruth gleaned the fields and married Boaz there. Joab and Abishai were from there. Mighty men in deeds. Above all, it was David's city. David was born there. It was David's Messiah that was the successor to David, for whom all were waiting. Jesus was born in the city of David. Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother bare her baby in a manger for his bed. I would share with you this. We are waiting for Jesus to come again. And until he comes, receive this glory of God as it is now revealed in Jesus. You can look all sorts of other places. You will not find the glory of God. If you look into the ethics of Christianity, you will find a system by which to live. You will not find Jesus. If you will place your trust in the Lord Jesus, the ethics take their place. Now notice the words, this day. When was Jesus born? This day. I don't know whether it's the 25th of December. I don't know that anybody can honestly say that. It doesn't matter if it's exact or not. We remember this day, the day that Jesus was born. How gladdening it was to those shepherds. How condemning it is to us who refuse this baby of Bethlehem, who refuse this Savior of the world. If poor shepherds could go and worship him, we can fall upon our knees. We can worship him. But do we? Do we come into his presence? It was the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. O day of days! God's love revealed to man in such a tangible form. If Jesus had come with an army, if Jesus was born of a great background, as King David, for instance, if Jesus had come from some high-ranking family, would not there have been a war? Would not the people be fighting and squabbling? But Jesus came as a baby. He grew up. People had to wait to discover the wisdom of this child. At 12 years old, he confounded the doctors and the people with great knowledge by his superior knowledge. And then, 18 years later, he breaks out and changes water into wine in Cana of Galilee. And this first miracle of Jesus was in Cana of Galilee. Isn't that terrific? The glory of God is being revealed. Now the glory of God is revealed in our day. Why was he born? Well, he is a Savior. This verse 11 is a terrific word. He is a Savior, the Savior of the world. No angels sang over any philosophers or any statesmen or any warriors or the like. No reformer has angels singing over his birth. No one but Jesus. The whole heavens opened and the heavens broke forth with song and praise, and angels announced the coming of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Do you know this Savior? Oh, this Savior is a precious friend. What were these tremendous testimonies, these titanian tidings? Wonderful tidings. Tidings that should get all of us excited. Savior from sin. Savior from death. Savior from hell. Oh, glad tidings indeed. For heaven knows God's will is he is not willing that any should perish. All heaven knows this. God doesn't want a single person to perish. And so he sent his Son. Can't you receive today the child of Bethlehem? Can you not receive today this baby who is called Jesus, Savior of the world? If you've never received him into your life, can you not now receive him? Saints of God, can you not now introduce him to those that don't love him? Saints of God, can you not stir yourselves to make the effort to share Jesus with your families and let the glory of God shine in the families of God? When that glory shines, all these political upheavals that we're going through now will suddenly take second place. Instead of talking politics around the table at Christmas or after Christmas, the Christmas meal, dare we talk about Jesus? Dare we talk about his love? Dare we read the scriptures about Jesus and all that he means to all of us? Oh, dear, dear friends, can you not see? God revealed himself in the flesh of his only begotten Son, in whom he was well pleased, and said, "This is Jesus, my Son. Hear him." What did Jesus say? He said, "Follow me, saint. Dust your shoes, shake your clothes, get right with God, deal with sin, follow Jesus. Stand up, be counted, stand in the gap, talk of the one who shares his eternal glory with you today. Saints for Jesus, rise up and know no other person but Jesus, the Son of God, as your true loving Saviour. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you this Christmas, rejoice in Jesus. He is the gift of God. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this day for this Christmas time, and we ask that today you will bless your precious word and excite our hearts and minds so that we can believe the glory has returned through Jesus to all who will come to him, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free. Thank you for a salvation so everlasting, so complete, so eternal. Thank you for loving us this day. Thank you for Jesus. We thank you for these things in his name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. God bless you.